The spring allergy season is upon us. That, along with lingering factors contributing to airborne pollution, it's time to buttress your respiratory health with Breathe Clear from my friends at NT Factor. Breathe Clear with NT Factor combines the benefits of NT Factor's breakthrough lipids formula with powerful bioflavonoids and amino acids. Together, they've been shown to restore energy, repair the damage to cells caused by air pollution, decrease allergic reactions, reduce sinus congestion, and open blood vessels. Breathe Clear with NT Factor is the best formulation available for tackling both allergies and the free radical damage caused by air pollution. For a limited time, buy one bottle of Breathe Clear with NT Factor and get another one absolutely free. That's a $27 savings. Just go to ntfactor.com. That's ntfactor.com or call 800-982-9158, 800-982-9158. Take advantage of this buy one, get one free sale and arm yourself with the protective power of Breathe Clear with NT Factor this spring and breathe freely while supporting your body's fight against allergies and free radicals. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Today, we're going to discuss an important nutrient, magnesium. We're going to find out about all things related to magnesium. This is a follow-up to our short-form interview with Patrick Sullivan, who's co-founder and CEO of Jigsaw Health. He joined me for one of our recent weekend editions of Intelligent Medicine, and now he's back with a longer form discussion of everything related to magnesium. The theme is questions to ask when looking for a magnesium supplement. Patrick is, as I said, co-founder and CEO of Jigsaw Health, the creators of MagSRT, America's number one time release magnesium. And we're going to find out why that is advantageous when it comes to magnesium. Not all magnesium supplements are alike. We get so many questions here on Intelligent Medicine, Patrick, about, you know, which magnesium should I take? Because there's so many varieties out there, and we'll get to that important subject in just a moment. But before we do that, let's talk about the roles that magnesium plays in the body. From what I understand, and going back to my training in biochemistry, there are over 300 critical life-supporting functions within the human body for which magnesium is a cofactor. In other words, it's essential that magnesium be there for these important processes to take place. So what are some of the most important aspects of that?
Well, magnesium is the conductor of the symphony inside of your body. That phrase, that metaphor, if you will, was told to me by Morley Robbins, the medical researcher extraordinaire, aka Magnesium Man, the creator of the Root Cause Protocol. And one of the things that he uncovered, this is Morley, was that the often cited magnesium is involved in over 300 biochemical reactions. That was a best guess from Dr. Burt Valley, Harvard medical professor, and it was from the 1950s. More recently, Morley has discovered, based on new research, that magnesium is involved in at least 3,751 biochemical reactions.
Okay, so that was a gross underestimate, and probably that hasn't aged well since I first went to medical school many decades ago. From what I recall, magnesium actually has to do with the translation of DNA into protein synthesis. It's essential for taking the encoded information in our chromosomes, taking the DNA, converting it to messenger RNA, and then thereby converting it into a template for assembling all the proteins that our body depends upon. That's pretty important.
Sounds like it.
Absolutely. I mean, without that, we would just not exist. Muscle and nerve function. I think people are familiar with the notion that when there's inadequate magnesium, there may be fatigue, muscle fatigue, athletes who don't get enough electrolytes, bonk because they don't have enough magnesium. And then there are the people who get the muscle cramps when they don't have enough magnesium. So magnesium is involved in nerve transmission, but also in muscle contraction. So there's that signaling aspect of it too.
You know, a lot of people have heard about calcium. The Got Milk Dairy Farmers Association did a great job of Got Milk, and they really sort of are like, you know, milk for calcium, for strong bones. But if you think about a piece of chalk, if you were to hold that at shoulder height and drop it onto the ground, what would happen?
It'd chatter. Yeah.
Right. Because calcium alone is not the bone matrix. The bone matrix is made up of calcium and magnesium and a number of other elements that makes it actually strong. Calcium is an electrolyte. Magnesium is an electrolyte. It's one of five electrolytes, the other three being chloride, potassium, and sodium. So those five electrolytes are essentially the battery of our bodies. I like to think of magnesium as the Rodney Dangerfield of minerals. I just can't get no respect.
Exactly. Yeah, it's unfortunately been superseded by our obsession with calcium. As if, you know, you could consume enough calcium to fortify your bones. But, you know, as they sometimes say, you know, can take calcium till the cows come home. It won't make your bones stronger.
Correct. It's think of that piece of chalk, that calcium carbonate that just falls to the ground and crumbles. And one of the things that we think about at Jigsaw Health is we are in the category, the nutrition category called dietary supplements, meaning by definition, we are a supplement to what you should be getting from your diet. And calcium is, in my opinion, incredibly easy to get from your diet along with sodium. So those two electrolytes, calcium and sodium, I think Americans tend to get in abundance, perhaps overabundance. And yet the body really needs calcium and magnesium to be in balance, like two kids on a teeter-totter. Same thing with sodium and potassium. They're on the teeter-totter right next to calcium and magnesium. Yet magnesium and potassium are not nearly as easy to get from the diet. So we at Jigsaw Health, we don't sell a calcium supplement. The argument being calcium is easy to get from your diet. Magnesium being a lot more difficult to get from the diet. That's why we focus on magnesium supplements. And one of our best, which you talked about at the top of the hour, MAG-SRT, America's number one time release magnesium.
And we'll get into, you know, how that works and why time release is a preferable delivery system, because it's not just about getting magnesium. It's about getting magnesium in the correct form that is bioavailable. And of course, that averts some of the well-known side effects. We'll talk a little bit about that because, you know, mostly it's about GI side effects. Magnesium, unfortunately, or fortunately for some people, can be a great laxative. But, you know, coming back to some of the functions of magnesium is a cofactor in energy production. Magnesium ATP, an example of how magnesium cooperates in terms of, you could call it the spark plugs that create energy within the body. Without magnesium, they simply can't function.
I love that word, the spark plug for energy. Dr. Dennis Goodman, a cardiologist based in New York, wrote a book called...
I know Dennis very well. He's one of my good colleagues here in New York, and he's an excellent...
Oh, excellent. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Well, he wrote a book, and maybe you've read it.
Yes.
Called The Magnificent Magnesium. And he talks a lot about that metaphor, of magnesium. And, you know, of course, without energy, there is no life. Morley Robbins, who I mentioned earlier, worked with Dr. Goodman on that book. And, one of the things that they, discussed and sort of worked on was a lot of people think of the heart as a pump. It's more like a nuclear reactor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that
analogy. And magnesium is the uranium spinning around inside of it at, you know, what are there, 50,000 heartbeats per day or something like that? Mm-hmm. Magnesium is the crucial element for the heart. It's not the only element, but it's one of the crucial elements. And one of the things that was pointed out to me, gosh, maybe almost 10 years ago by Morley, was there's sort of a well-known thing in marathons where people will sometimes pass out, literally die towards the end of a marathon.
Mm-hmm.
And these are marathon runners, fit people that you would look at and say, well, you know, not an ounce of body fat or whatever. And the theory that Morley discussed was it's likely that these folks have used up their entire magnesium mm-hmm. store on that 26.2 mm-hmm. mile journey, and the heart just has no more pump. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, if you don't mind a little departure into Greek mythology, it was Philippides who was the messenger of, I guess it was the victory of Sparta over whatever, the Persians, who ran the first marathon, and he announced the victory and he promptly dropped dead. So had there been MAG-SRT in those days, the story might have had a happier ending, right? I mean, that's an example of what you're talking about is the exhaustion that occurs with that. Another thing that I think, exercise depletes magnesium, stress definitely depletes magnesium. And I remember this is from many years ago, sometimes in agriculture, they actually are more concerned with the welfare of the animals because it's really dollars and cents. It's profits, in the marketplace. So they really do leverage nutritional supplementation. And one of the things that they used to do transporting pigs to marketplace, in trucks, very stressful for the animals. They actually have this tremendous stress reaction because they sense, something's going on, impending doom, because they're going to the abattoir. And there was attrition. There was breakage, loss of, livestock due to sudden death, and they couldn't figure it out. And what they, agricultural scientists finally discovered that by supplementing magnesium in the feed of the animals, that they could avert these episodes of sudden death because animals literally were scared to death. So magnesium is a wonderful bulwark against stress, but conversely, stress causes us to pee out magnesium at astronomical rates. We really become depleted of magnesium. So, I mean, I think this really sets up a conversation about, you're in the supplement business, but why should you have to offer people magnesium supplements? What is it about American diet, American lifestyle, the medications we take causes people to require more magnesium?
That is a great question, and I'm going to get to that through an article written by Dr. Susie Cohen, a pharmacist.
Yes.
But I first want to make sure.
All these people are alumni of Intelligent Medicine. We've talked to Dr.
Really?
Susie Cohen on a podcast several years ago. Dr. Dennis Goodman has been a frequent contributor. So great stuff. Keep going.
And all good people for sure. I wanted to touch on the subject of animals because it reminded me of Carla Odetta at Performance Equine Nutrition. So Jigsaw, we are about to sell. In fact, we are. It's April of 2024. We are celebrating our 19th birthday. And about 17 years ago, I got my first phone call from Carla saying, hey, we utilize the same form of magnesium that you have in MAG-SRT, dimagnesium malate. We use that form with our horses.
Oh.
And it works so good that the horse owners often say, would magnesium help calm my anxiety would it help calm me down? So she might've been our first wholesale customer at Jigsaw Health buying, a case at a time of Jigsaw Mag SRT to sell to her horse clients owners. And she still is a customer to this day. So shout out to Carla if you're listening.
You might have to branch out into veterinary medicine, you'd have to create a horse pill. It might be the size of a hockey puck.
Yeah, and thankfully, the MAG-SRT pills, they're not that big, thankfully. So they're not the horse pills that some people look at and say, oh, I'm never going to be able to swallow that thing. But no, the question that you brought up was, in this current American diet, why are so many people deficient? And when we did our radio show a couple of weeks ago, you mentioned the NHANES study from a while back, but it talked about, I believe, 68% of people in that study were deficient in magnesium. One of the common causes is, of course, stress is going to burn magnesium. So you need to sort of up your magnesium as you are under stress. But also, medications are a, quote, drug mugger of magnesium. So this is the Susie Cohen article. If you just Google Jigsaw Health Drug Muggers Magnesium, you'll find that article, a blog post. We basically got permission from Susie to repost that article to our website. And it lists
that's jigsawmagnesium.com, or what's the website again?
Jigsawhealth.com.
Jigsawhealth.com.
Is the main website. But I'm sure if you Google search Jigsaw Health Magnesium Drug Muggers, you'll find this article. And it's got a, I think it's 15 or so different categories of drugs that will deplete magnesium in the body. While we're here, I'll be my own producer, fact finder, and find that article.
I would start with the diuretics. You know, diuretics almost universally deplete magnesium. You know, there are other medications that interfere with magnesium.
Yeah.
There are, you know, certainly medications for which magnesium is helpful, can augment the benefits or the advantages of those medications. But I think diuretics are like the main category of medications, but the drug market.
Oh, it's one of them.
Yeah, the drug market.
I pulled it up. It's the 14 drugs that deplete magnesium by Susie Cohen. Category one, acid blockers.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, major category. So much so, Patrick, that there is now a black box warning on drugs like Protonix, Prilosec, Nexium, that genre of medications, that they may cause magnesium deficiency. And so it takes a lot to get a black box warning. I mean, I wish I had a buck for every medication.
For those who don't know, what is a black box warning there, Dr. Hoffman?
Well, it is literally in a black box printed in bold print on the, you know, this like this whole long list of possible side effects of medications. But when it is that prominent and stands out, that is designed to get the attention of clinicians so that they actually screen their patients for deficiencies. But I'll bet you that the vast majority of people on those medications, the doctors haven't mentioned that or haven't tested them for magnesium or have even perhaps suggested that they take magnesium.
Category number two, antacids.
Yeah, yeah.
Category three, antibiotics.
Yep.
Number four, antiviral agents.
Oh, okay.
Number five, and this is a big one, blood pressure drugs.
Oh, for sure. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And we should definitely come back to magnesium's effect on blood pressure. Part of the Scottsdale magnesium study that we did showed that it lowered people from pre-hypertension to normal blood pressure. We'll come back to that. Moving through the list, we've got central nervous
system. I can explain that because that magnesium is a vasodilator. It will actually cause blood vessels to relax, just like it causes, you know, if you have muscle cramps, you could take magnesium up less in the way of muscle cramps. This, in effect, when your blood vessels constrict, go into spasm, that's like a muscle cramp of the muscle, of the smooth muscle within the blood vessels. And magnesium has a tendency to stabilize the nerve conduction within the muscles so that the blood vessels dilate and don't constrict. So that's helpful for blood pressure.
Every name I've mentioned so far has been an alumni of your program, which kudos to you for such a great career. Do you also know perhaps Andrea Rosenoff?
No, now you stumped me. You stumped me on that.
All right. I finally stumped the band. Well, okay. Andrea is a part of a group called the Magnesium Education Resource Center.
Okay.
And her group was recently, maybe 2 years ago, I want to say, probably January 2022, involved in getting the FDA to publish a study and to basically confirm that magnesium may reduce the risk of high blood pressure. Okay, found the resource. Yes, so the FDA confirmed January 10th, 2022, finally confirmed, that magnesium may reduce the risk of high blood pressure. So you're probably very aware of the things that we as clinicians and supplement companies can and cannot say about dietary supplements. Mm-hmm. Well, finally, FDA is going to allow us to tell people magnesium can help to reduce the risk of high blood pressure. And it's finally like, vitamin C can reduce the risk of scurvy. And magnesium can also reduce the risk of high blood pressure.
And, that is very important. And this is what is sometimes referred to as qualified health claim. And qualified health claims are very hard to come by. The FDA and the FTC are very stingy about allowing supplements to make what they call disease claims, because they say, well, there's two worlds. There's the world of medications, the pharmacy drugs, and then there's the world of supplements. And when we talk about supplements, we're supposed to be confined to languages like supports healthy circulation, kind of using a little bit weasel words to connote that maybe, you're going to have better heart health or you're going to have an impact on blood pressure. But to allow that, I think, is quite a coup. I just think that they had to acknowledge the overwhelming evidence that there was for the role of magnesium. So that's certainly an advance. Well, keep going.
The list of drug agents.
Yep.
We've got central nervous system stimulants such as Ritalin.
Yeah.
We've got cholesterol agents.
Oh, you know that.
Corticosteroids.
Oh, big time, with prednisone and even the inhaled steroids for asthma. And paradoxically, what happens, people taking those medications, asthma, there may be a magnesium component, because just as there's vasoconstriction, which constricts the blood vessels, there's bronchoconstriction. And so for our asthmatics, I strongly recommend that they take magnesium to relax their breathing tubes so that they don't go into spasm. So, but when you take a steroid, you're kind of killing your magnesium, and many of the inhaled steroids will do that. Yeah, good point. I didn't think about that.
Next on the list is HRT, hormone replacement therapy, or oral contraceptives.
Yeah.
Immunosuppressants.
Yep.
Yeah, well, very prevalent.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Immunosuppressants. Like Nerol and Prograf and Sandimmune.
For people who have, organ transplantation, but, there's so many people who are on various types of immunosuppressants for autoimmune diseases these days. So this is possibly more pervasive than just for the people who have kidney transplants or liver transplants. Yeah.
Next on the list, non-steroidal aromatase inhibitors.
Hmm. Okay.
That's a drug like, Arimidex, I believe is what it is.
Oh, okay. Yeah, which is used for breast cancer. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Final three, osteoporosis, which is kind of ironic.
Yeah.
You're removing magnesium or depleting magnesium, one of the key minerals for a healthy bone matrix. But the Avista drug, the osteoporosis, will also help to deplete you of magnesium. Mm-hmm. So kind of a lose-lose.
Yeah.
We've got finally the selective estrogen receptor modulators.
Tamoxifen.
Avista, Novodex, Ferrostrin.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally on the list, sulfonamides?
Sulfonamides.
Sulfa-based antibiotics.
Yeah.
How do you say that?
Like Bactrim, for example, which is commonly used for urinary tract. Sulfonamides. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Interesting.
Okay.
I'm
somewhat my medical education. I'm glad to be able to do that since I paid a lot for it. So good news.
that reaches the end. And then there's a number of miscellaneous. Important to note that alcohol actually
will
deplete the body of magnesium quite a bit. Not a prescription drug, but still a drug.
And a pervasively used drug, might I say. Okay.
It's like, indeed.
Yeah. Okay. So
Or excess calcium, which we kind of talked about.
Calcium can push out magnesium. It competes with magnesium to some extent. I'll also point out that such a high percentage of people in the United States have what's called metabolic syndrome or insulin resistance.
Mm.
And that is, I mean, diabetes 100% is associated with magnesium deficiency, but on a little bit to a lesser extent, but to a significant extent, anybody with metabolic syndrome is likely to have deficient magnesium, and they really need the magnesium precisely for the energy pathways that are often impaired in diabetes. So, and the action of insulin itself is magnesium dependent. So there you have it. All right. You know, Patrick, do you think we made the case sufficiently for the need for people to take more magnesium?
Well, if we didn't, I'll give you this last bullet point. During the Scottsdale Magnesium Study, which was a study that we helped to fund with Dr. Decker Weiss, a naturopathic cardiologist, it was 91 patients, 75% of the participants presented with suboptimal MAG serum and MAG RBC. So tying back to the NHANES study with 68% magnesium of that population deficient, it's pretty prevalent. You know, there's a better than a coin flip chance unless you yourself are supplementing with magnesium, there's a good chance that you are in the deficiency category. The good news is you can take a great supplement like MAG SRT to begin to replenish. So MAG SRT, MAG serum was increased by 22% in one day. And over the course of 90 days, we looked at red blood cell count. That was increased by 6% over 30 days and 30% over 90 days. And perhaps most important, those numbers, when there were after the washout period, all went back down.
Oh, yeah. So it argues for consistency, and you got it. You know, it's not something that's going to happen overnight. You know, there's a cumulative effect. But it also, you know, I think it's important that you do these kind of validation studies because there is a possibility that taking magnesium pills, that they just kind of run through you and they're excreted in the urine or they're excreted in the stool, especially in the stool, because they might just act as a laxative and they don't actually have an impact on the cells. And that's what red blood cell magnesium is good at indicating. Okay, so we've laid the groundwork for our discussion in part two. I want to talk a little bit about bioavailability and why Jigsaw Health formulated the type of magnesium that it offers in MAG SRT and in your other product, MAG Soothe, and you know what the differences are between them and who should take what and how much. Our call to action today is for more information and to order MAG SRT and MAG Soothe. Just go to jigsawhealth.com. That's jigsawhealth.com. We want you to try it so Intelligent Medicine users have access to coupon code HOFFMAN10 for $10 off your order. Thank you, Patrick Sullivan. That's jigsawhealth.com and use coupon code HOFFMAN10 for MAG SRT and MAG Soothe. And when we return, we'll talk a little bit about the concept beyond time-release magnesium, how to avoid the side effects of magnesium, how to increase its bioavailability, and more, with Patrick Sullivan Jr., who's co-founder and CEO of Jigsaw Health, the creators of MAG SRT and MAG Soothe. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.